A central concept along the Chabad spiritual path is the concept of hisboninus. Hisboninus, or hitboninut, for those who prefer, is different from hisboididus, or hitbodidut. Now, hisboninus / hitboninut means literally the act of contemplation. But what exactly is this contemplation? How exactly should one go about it? And it's discussed very much in Chabad texts, and it's discussed very much at Farbengen's, at Chabad gatherings, and those who have some exposure to Teres Chabad will certainly come across the term Hizboinus. But how exactly to be Mizboinin, how exactly to engage in this act of contemplation, in this work, this worship of contemplation, is something which is not necessarily straightforward. It's something which has been relegated more to the Teres Shabbal Peh, to the oral tradition of Chassidus Chabad. And if somebody was lucky to know older Chassidim or great Mashpim, then they would be exposed to Hizboninus and have a deeper understanding of what Hizboninus meant. And if not, they would just hear the word Hizboninus and leave it at that. Recently, a sefer was published called HaMashpia, Rav Shlomo Chaim Kesselman, which deals with the Mashpia, the great Chabad spiritual teacher, Rav Shlomo Chaim Kesselman, who was one of the most significant Chabad Mashpim in the latter half of the 20th century. And in particular, he's known for his hadracha, for his guidance in the path of Chassidus Chabad and in the modes of worship, the modes of Veda in Chassidus Chabad. And in this year, we're going to go through chapter 4 of this book on Rav Shlomo Chaim Kesselman, which, unlike many biographies about Gedolei Yisrael, doesn't just talk about his great deeds and his great character, which does as well, but it also more particularly discusses his teachings and his guidance. And amongst Mashpim and Chabad, there were some Mashpim who were known for being paragons of extreme discipline, and people would become very inspired by watching their extreme discipline. Although it's the case that Shlomo Chaim certainly was a man of extreme discipline, in particular, he was known for A, his deep understanding of his Talmidim, his deep understanding of the human psyche, and furthermore, of his deep understanding of Teres Chabad and his ability to communicate both the concepts in Teres Chabad as well as the Darkei Aveda, as well as the ways of worshiping Hashem that Teres Chabad teaches. So the chapter begins by discussing the essence and the goal of his Hizboninus of contemplation, and it begins with a quote from the Rebbe Rashab's Kodesh Satvila, one of the two kontrasim, one of the two pamphlets that the Rebbe Rashab wrote for Chassidim in the early 1900s, offering them guidance on how to daven. So Rebbe Rashab writes there in Kodesh Satvila, Kol halimud v'idea hakidemes hi keachono el iker. All of one's study and prior knowledge of Chassidus is only a preparation for the main thing. What is the main thing? Which is b'nei ben betfilah, b'zbeinus protius dafke. That is, that a person contemplate on what they know in Chassidus with particular contemplations. Vuhu laharchiv habiur b'inyan eliki. What does it mean to be mizbeinu? What does it mean to contemplate? It means to expand the explanation, to think about the details of the divine concept, shem mizbeinu b'y, upon which one is contemplating. Lavina heitev, to understand it well, biribui hapratim sheboi dafke, with its many details in particular. V'loi dai bizbonus b'erecha levad. It's not the jaws that you think about the concept generally. V'afka minin kvayo dua ilav mavoretz lehetev, and even though it may be the case that the concept upon which one is contemplating is already known to the person and very clear to him, if a person contemplates on the concept merely generally, this doesn't count as contemplation at all, because the light does not illumine the interiority of his heart and mind, but rather, it merely surrounds, it merely transcends his mind, it does not penetrate his mind. But when the light penetrates a person's mind, meaning when it's the case that a person understands the details and connects with the details, then the contemplative exercise will not just remain in the head, but it will also enter the heart. That's a quote from the Rebbe Rashab Kunsh Satvila on Omud 12. So now the Sefer and Rosh Chaim unpacks this idea from the Rebbe Rashab and gives us an understanding of what his bonus is following Rosh Chaim's path. It says there are many conditions and different modes which allow a person to grasp different types of wisdom, different types of ideas. Generally speaking, in order to understand deep abstract ideas, a person has to stay away from immersing themselves in physical pleasures and corporeality, physicality, and distractions. But more particularly, there are particular strategies and ideas which allow people to grasp different types of wisdom, different brands of wisdom. Meaning, learning halacha l'maisa is very different from learning complex sugyas le'iyun and gemara. And also, learning a concept in Jewish philosophy in Machshavas Yisrael, say in the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim and the like, is very different from learning midrashim and agadas chazal, which have a very, very different way of communicating ideas. So in a similar fashion, just like all the various branches of Torah study and, of course, of other wisdoms have different strategies and different modes in which one is meant to study them, in a similar fashion, when one studies Chassidus Chabad, there are certain conditions with which one has to meet in order to properly grasp Chassidus Chabad. And the Sefer is telling us that it's insufficient to merely study Chassidus Chabad as an intellectual exercise, but in order that the Chassidus become grasped, in order that it enter a person's consciousness and properly affect the person, a person cannot suffice with just studying from a book or from a Rav or a Mashpia, but rather, after they've completed the study, they need to contemplate in a deep and sustained way on whatever it is that they study. And here, the Rebbe Rashab teaches us that Ikra Kavana, the primary focus of Chassidus Chabad, is to contemplate in davening. I mean, the primary focus of Chassidus is not just to learn the ideas, but to contemplate on them. One reason why a person should engage in Rizbainus is because Tfilah is defined in Chassidus, defined in Tanya Perek Yud Beis, as Ishas Meichin Ligadus, a time of expanded consciousness, meaning a time at which a person's intellect, a person's higher self, controls their more impulsive and lower self. Meaning that's the idea of Meichin Ligadlus. At such a time a person is, spiritually speaking, a godel, they're an adult, and not a katon, they're not a child who's pulled around by their mere emotions and impulses. The Gamle Mata, and Tanya continues and says that also below, he shas the klishul chal odom, shos mkashen chabad shalei lashem, lahay mikdaitoi, bigdulas einsev baruch. Time of davening, that's a good time to contemplate on Hashem's greatness. But, so the point is not just that tefillah is a good time to think about things, but rather that when one contemplates on Hasidic ideas in the context of tefillah, that leads to very different results than merely learning the Hasidus in the context of a chavrusa or reading out of a book. Here, the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe of the Chabad, in Igros Kodesh Chelik Gimel, page Tov Samach Gimel, explains the difference between studying Chassidus and contemplating that comes after the study. He says, Yesh hisboninus, the Yesh hisboninus. There's contemplation, there's contemplation. Yesh hisboninus shal limud, the Yesh hisboninus shal tefillah. There's the contemplation that one does in the time of study, and the contemplation that one does in the time of davening. Although it's the case that the contemplation of the Hasidic text that one does when they study has the same name as the contemplation that one does when they daven, given that they have the same substance, both are contemplation. But nonetheless, they're quite different in their core idea. The contemplation that takes place when one studies is that one toiled to understand the given idea and to understand it and apprehend it. But the contemplation that takes place during davening is that one strongly peers upon, one strongly stares at, one encounters and tastes, one experiences the good, the beauty of the idea. So, to summarize that, the chiluk that the Friedrich was bringing between the contemplation at the time of study and the contemplation of davening is that contemplation at the time of study is more of an intellectual exercise, whereas contemplation at the time of davening is experiential, even though it starts from a mental, from an intellectual place. Saying that more deeply, the difference between the two modes of contemplation is when a person contemplates in the context of study, a person studies an idea and grasps it, but in the contemplation of davening, the idea grasps the person, and enters his interiority, umekashrei elov, and connects itself to him. Milafefoi, it swaddles him, umelahatoi, and excites him, ad asher choyoy yichia bechayis plimi, to the point that a person lives with the idea they think about, with an inner life, ne'imus mesikus ha, ba'arevus ne'imus mesikus ahu, with the sweetness and pleasantness of the idea. But now, how does one get to this? But this is Benunus. So, Rav Shlomo Chaim was something of a Benunus coach. Rav Dovid Shakevitz, who was one of Rav Shlomo Chaim's Talmidim, said that Rav Shlomo Chaim would have the Bachrim practice. He would train them to think about Chassidus at the time of davening in steps. First, he'd have them think for 5 minutes and just sit and contemplate on an idea they learned for 5 minutes. Then sit and contemplate an idea for 10 minutes, and afterwards for 20 minutes, and afterwards up to a half hour. And the training was to contemplate on one idea in Chassidus straight without thinking any other thoughts, without any distracting or intrusive thoughts in the middle. And all that was based on the idea in Tanya, Perek Gimel, that contemplation needs to come about through the power of Das. What's that? So the Alter Rebbe there explains in Tanya Perek Gimel, Shemekasher Daite, that Das is that one connects their thought, one connects their mind, Bekesher Omitz V'Chazak Me'oid, with an extremely powerful bond, V'Yisoka Machshavte B'Chizak, and one should wedge their powers of thoughts with great intensity, Begadlos Ein Sev Baruch Hu, on the greatness of the infinite, blessed be He, the Einem Misiach Daite, and not remove one's focus, not remove one's thought. He Af Mishu Chochem V'Gnoven, Begadlos Ein Sev Baruch Hu, because lo, it's the case that one may have great intuitive and analytic understanding of the infinite, blessed be He. If somebody does not try to connect to the ideas, somebody does not try to connect to Hashem with his thoughts, and does not wedge his thoughts into, does not wedge his power of thought into thinking about godly ideas with strength and with constancy, a person will not manage to generate true love and fear of Hashem, but rather, if a person does not engage in the work of Das, which is consistent contemplative effort, but rather has the ideas, then all their seeming religious emotion will only be imagined. It won't be real. And apparently, Shakevitz tells us,
it was quite challenging for the Bachrim to contemplate straight on an idea for 5 minutes, and it would take many months until the Bachrim were capable of engaging in these contemplative exercises of properly contemplating during Tefillah for a sustained period of time.
In the year Tafreshayin Gimel, which would correspond to either 1812 or 1813, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, and the Friedrich Rebbe took a trip together to the French city of Menton. And at that time, the Rebbe Rashab taught the Friedrich Rebbe eight different virtues, eight different milas that is bainus, that engaging in contemplative exercise in davening has, particularly when one is contemplating before davening, but while wearing their talis and tefillah. And this is printed in Sefer Amarim Kuntresim of the Friedrich Rebbe Chil Gimel on page Mem Hei. And the eight are as follows.
So number one is that the Friedrich Rebbe tells us that his bonus is mezaki chaguf. It clarifies, it purifies the body. And it makes one's brain and heart a vehicle, a vessel for the resting of the divine presence. Two, his bonus allows to make it such that megarish es nefesh habahami. It chases away our animal impulse. Three, reichets es nefesh hativi. It washes, it cleanses the natural soul, meaning the natural soul is an element of the consciousness which is not divine on the one hand, but on the other hand, it doesn't have the same animalistic and base drives as the nefesh habahamis, is the animal consciousness. Four, mishabed es nefesh hasichli, going up the ladder in the various levels of consciousness. The Rebbe Shab tells us that his bainus and tefillah takes the intellectual part of consciousness, which is not necessarily divine, and channels that in a divine direction. It subjugates it to a higher agenda. Five, his bainus makes it such that meir es ha'olam, it illuminates the world. And the Rebbe Shab said, as ayid trach chassidus and talos tefillin farin davenin, when a Jew contemplates on Hasidic thought while wearing a talis and tefillin before davening, there die Welt lichtiger, the world becomes a more illuminated place. Six, the sixth virtue of his bonus before davening is that mamshich gilu lekus b'chol olam es b'reish kol dagen seif kol dagen. Through contemplation, a person manifests divine revelation in all realms and all spheres, from the highest of levels to the lowest of levels. The seventh virtue is Meir HaNefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Yichid Shalei. A person illuminates all five spiritual levels of consciousness, the Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Yichida, and that's explained at great length in many places in Chassidus, but just briefly speaking, the Nefesh refers to the more instinctive part of ourselves, the Ruach is the emotions, the Neshama refers to the intellectual part of ourselves, the Chaya refers to the subconscious, one's will and one's desires, and the yechidah is the core self. But basically speaking, the Rebbe Shav here is saying that avodas hatfila illuminates, it elevates all parts of a person. And then finally, number eight, umeshana es etzem teva midayisav. Through the act of davening, a person's core character traits change. And this is actually pretty big, because in many places, Chassidus says, the Rebbe Shah and the Friedrich Rebbe both say, that the hardest thing to do is to change one's character, is to change teva midosov, change one's nature. And in one of the Rebbe Shah's famous svarim, Shachayin Beis, Perakufei, there he says that sometimes it's impossible to change teva midosov. And this is a very relatable idea, that throughout life, we very often have problems, we very often have challenges. Let's say you have somebody who's chronically late, and they say, I'll stop being chronically late. So they'll stop being chronically late for a little bit, but almost inevitably the chronic lateness will come back. Somebody is a workaholic, somebody doesn't give their spouse, their children enough attention. It's almost inevitable that these things are just going to recur and recur, because they're not rooted in behavior, but they're rooted in core personality character traits. So Rebbe Shab is suggesting here, even though in Rebbe Shachayim Beis, he implies that to change Tevim Midosim is a very hard thing, and it's perhaps even impossible. Here he's saying that through contemplation in Tefillah, a person can perhaps, in fact, change certain elements of their personality, which seem like they're fixed. Relatedly, is Igros Kedesh, the Rebbe Shab's Igros Kedesh, Nechelik Aleph, page Chavdal, he explains as follows. Hamachshava b'dach b'talos and tefillin. When one thinks about dach, words of chassidus, while wearing their talos and tefillin, poyel harbe b'tefillah she'acharkach, that strongly impacts the davening which follows it, uve'an haga b'chol hayoyim, and in one's behavior all day long. And while contemplating, one's thought is, or at least contemplating in the context of davening while wearing talis and tefillin, the way in which one thinks is different than the way they're usually thinking, and one feels a greater sense of closeness to oneself, meaning one's potentially in a more state of greater connection to oneself, and therefore the thought impacts them more. And the Rebbe Shab explains this is because when one is wearing a talus and tefillin, the talus and tefillin are a shield and a cover from the various things which would generally distract one from being able to properly focus. To fully round out this idea of the power of contemplative exercise, this Sefer Rav Shlomo Chaim quotes Biramiza, a very interesting story, which is quoted in Reishis Chochma, a Sefer Kabbalah, in Shara Ava, Perek Dalet. So it's Reishis Chochma's explanation of how to engage in love of Hashem, love of Kadosh Baruch Hu, love of the Ein Sof. This is discussed there, Shara Ava, Perek Dalet. And the Tzemach Tzedek even alludes to it in Sefer Lekutei Torah. So what's the story? The story goes as follows. It's quite a fascinating tale. The Reish Chachma tells us that we'll learn the following story that Rav Yitzchak ben Akko, who was an earlier Kabbalist, taught. Omar, he said, this is a parable. This is a story which illustrates a lesson. So he says, once upon a time, there was a princess who had just left the bathhouse. And there was a certain unemployed character, or a certain base character who didn't really do much with his life, who saw her. And he sighed a great sigh. And he said, who will only give me the princess? He says, I want to be with the princess. But the princess spoke up and responded to him, you'll have the opportunity if you go to the graveyard, but not now. When you heard these words, when you heard the princess tell him that he'll be able to have her in the graveyard, he rejoiced. Because he thought that she was telling him, go to the graveyard and I'll be there for you. And then she'll join him. And he'll be able to do with her whatever he wants. But that wasn't the princess's intention. But she meant to say, quoting Iyov Gimel Yotes. Meaning the princess was effectively joking to him, and she's saying, that'll never happen in this world. A princess never gets together, a princess never marries a base, worthless man who hangs out and doesn't do much with his life in this world of hierarchy. Only in the graveyard where everyone's dead and there's no difference and no hierarchy exists, then maybe what you're dreaming of could perhaps happen. Show me Yushav Makoyel, there in the graveyard everyone will be equal. But now, in this reality, that would not be the case. Because it would be senseless for one of the throng, for one of the masses, one of the simple people, to marry a princess. But given the misunderstanding, this person got up and went. He went to the graveyard. And he sat there in the graveyard and he contemplated on the princess all day long. And he would always think about her form, always think about her beauty. And given his tremendous passion for the princess, he stripped away his thoughts from any other senses. And the only thing he would ever think about was the image, the form of that woman and how beautiful she was. And day and night would he sit in the graveyard. And there he would eat and drink and there he would sleep. Because he told himself, if she doesn't come today, she'll join me tomorrow. And so he did for many days. Now, as a result of his tremendous detachment, his tremendous separation from any of his senses, and his connection of his thought and mind to one thing on a constant basis, and his bididus, his isolation from other people, and his intense passion. Nispashta nafshi mehamurgoshis. His consciousness became stripped away from felt senses. Vishavali davik muskolis. And it began to think, and his consciousness began to think of intellectual ideas. Ad shemikol murgosh nispashta vafilu meisho. To the point that his mind, which was in a state of such intense focus, stopped even thinking about the beautiful woman, vidovka b'shem yizbarach, and it cleaved to Hashem. Ad shel yom mu'atim, to the point that pashto kol murgosh v'cheshka b'muskol ha'leki, v'shovli is oivid sholim ishalim kodesh. And this person, his mind became so detached from the vanities, from the silly things in this world, to the point that his mind stripped itself away from anything meaningless and became completely connected to divine ideas, to only to Hashem. And this person did tshuva, and he became a perfect worshiper of Hashem, a God of man, holy man, to the point that ad shetfilasei nishmas, that his tefilos were answered, ubirchasei pe'eles, and his brachas were effective, l'chol oivei drachim asher yavru derachsham, to any of the people who would pass by the graveyard, v'soichrim uprashim v'aglayim asher yavru derachsham, and if there were any merchants or chariots or foot travelers who had contemplated for so long on the princess, then they would turn aside, v'kablu berchosei, and they would receive his bracha, and the brachas would work. Ad shaholach shmala mirachik, until the guy became famous as a miracle worker. And then there's Chalach continues, ad kam l'shirin l'nyonenu, that's the end of the story that Rav Yitzchak ben Akoi told. But v'oid herich sham b'mayel sapar shahu, Rav Yitzchak ben Akoi went to speak at great length about the virtue of this proverbial ascetic, this proverbial man who became a contemplative. Because of Shem, Rav Yitzchak ben Akoi, and Rav Yitzchak ben Akoi also wrote B'maisiyas HaPrushim, in his stories of the Prushim, in his stories of the ascetic saints, Shemisha Lechoshak Leisha, that somebody who never had romantic passion, Hu Doime Lechamor Upachs Menu, is like a donkey or even less. V'atam, the reason being, Ki Me'amurgosh Tzorich Shi Bochin Avoid Leki Shibkirashnu, So the reason being that a person who never felt romantic passion towards another person is like a donkey, unless is, as Zeresh Sofa tells us, because we can only experience emotions in Avodas Hashem, we can only test whether our emotions in Avodas Hashem are real emotions if we experience those emotions, or we can compare those emotions to those emotions in our regular life. And that is, says Rashi Chachma, the meaning of desire. I mean, we understand desire in a ordinary human context, and then once you've understood that, we can properly apply it in a divine context. But if you've never understood what desire means in a normal human context, then maybe you do not, in fact, have desire in a divine context. But the point being, the reason why the story is relevant for us is because it's demonstrating how contemplation can have a transformative effect on a person. Returning to our Sefer Shalom Chaim, it summarizes the story as follows, that the person, the fellow, this vagrant, this guy who was thinking about the princess, was completely immersed in his thoughts that were connected to his taivis, which were connected to his lusts. But given that he began to habituate himself to think about things deeply, he began to change little by little the content of what he was thinking about. From thoughts about the world of emotion or emotions, he transitioned to deeper intellectual thoughts. And as time progressed, his intense thinking brought him to deeper and higher levels. And from a place of only contemplating on intellectual ideas, he began to contemplate on holy ideas and divine ideas, which clarified, which refined his mind, it elevated his soul, and ultimately, through his habit of deep thinking, which began by deeply thinking about the princess who he very much lusted after, that caused not only his thoughts to change, but it transformed him as a person. It transformed him from one end of the spectrum to the other, to the point that he began to be a holy person, a spiritual person, a divine person, whose brachas, whose blessings were received in heaven. So if it's the case that deeply contemplating on negative things, deeply contemplating on lust, could ultimately bring a person to a place of the zenith, the peak of holiness, then Rosh Chodesh Chaim reasoned, how much more so is it the case that if a person begins by thinking holy thoughts, if a person begins by thinking about holy matters, as Chazal tell us, miruba mida teiva, mimidas piranos, that Hashem's measure of good is much greater than his measure of punishment and his measure of tribulation, then how much more so if you start from a good place, how much farther would you be able to get through the act of contemplation? And the positive impact that contemplating Chassidus is going to have will not only express itself when one is learning and davening, but it also will impact the person's entire day, even when a person's engaged in mundane activities and mundane affairs, that it leaves an imprint of purity and holiness upon a person. Contemplation during and before davening helps a person to become elevated and come to a place of cleaving to Hashem. And as Chazal tell us, if somebody is looking to purify themselves, then they'll be helped out. Somebody who wants to purify their mind will be helped out from heaven. So the idea being, you begin by contemplating a little bit on ideas of Chassidus, and ultimately that will lead to tremendous results. So we saw that Rosh Chodesh Chaim liked to quote these eight virtues of his bainus before davening in the name of the Rebbe. But in addition, Rosh Chodesh Chaim said that contemplating before davening, contemplating Chassidus before davening, has another value. In davening, one's meant to have pure thoughts. One's meant to have tayas ha-machshava. One shouldn't be thinking distracting thoughts. One shouldn't be thinking impure thoughts. And the Chassidus tells us that tefillah is me'ein olam haba. It's like Gan Eden. It's like olam haba. Now, in order to get into Gan Eden, the olam haba, a person's thoughts have to be pure. So in a similar fashion, in order to experience the olam haba that is davening, a person's thoughts have to be pure. A person needs to erase, delete any impure thoughts that might enter their mind. The Alter Rebbe in Lakutei Torah and Parshas Ki Sava explains there are three tools that one can use to remove the distractions, to remove those things which emotionally or intellectually block one from davening. Number one, he says, is mikvah, that everyone holds that tefillah is mekubelas yeser im hatefillah, that one's tefillah, one's davening, is more accepted. It goes better if one tefilled first. The second is tzedaka, giving one's money to the poor or to other causes. And the Altareb explains, yesh ketrugim ala adam, that there might be various prosecutions spiritually against the person. And spiritually, a person is judged whether or not they're worthy of entering Hashem's palace. Utzdaka tatzel. But tzedaka, giving money to good causes, to righteous causes, will save a person from those spiritual judgments. And then the third key to davening that Altareb tells us there in Parshas Ki Sava is Esek v'limu divrei Musar, engaging and studying words of Musar, words of Jewish ethics, u'befrat divrei Musar imtzom b'zoyar, particularly words of Jewish ethics and inspiration, which are in the Zohar. And the word Zohar means ha'ora, it means light, it means ray. Shemeir b'mokem ha'choshech, it lights up the place of darkness. And it's known, the Hasidic tradition, that Teres Chabad, Teres Chassidus, is considered part of the study of the Zohar. But Rosh Chodesh Chaim said, these three tools are a little bit magical. The tool of toiveling in the mikvah, giving tzedakah, learning chassidus, they all help, but what else can you do to push away intrusive thoughts, to push away distractive thoughts and fantasies in the context of davening? What are some more natural, less magical psychological tools? So one, Rosh Chodesh Chaim said, is that you should refrain from talking about nonsense, refrain from dvorim betelim, before davening. Because engaging in Dvarim Betelim, talking about inconsequential, silly things before davening, leads one's consciousness to become very distracted, a state called Pizur HaNefesh. And that explains what we say during davening, that Hashem should gather us from the four corners of the land. It doesn't just refer to the fact that we'd like Hashem to redeem the Jews from all the different places that they're stuck in Golus, but it also means that we want Hashem to take our consciousness from the four different corners of the earth, from different places in which it's scattered, and to make us into focused human beings. We're asking Hashem to help us gather the powers of our soul and the powers of our consciousness, which have gotten spread around and scattered through our stray thoughts and talking about inconsequential things. So that's the Sur Meira, that's the negative element which helps keep one away from Machshav Azars. But furthermore, the positive thing to do, the positive way to keep Machshav Azaris away, to keep these intrusive, distracting thoughts away, is, Rishlaim Chaim said, to contemplate before davening. Rav Hillel Mipairich, who was one of the leading disciples of the Tzemach Tzedek, once said that the Tzemach Tzedek told him that lowly souls, meaning souls, neshamis, which have the tendency to get distracted during davening, need to do two things. Number one, they need to contemplate on a Maimer of Chassidus before davening. And then during davening, they should think about what the words mean. But the upshot is that by contemplating Chassidus before davening, that makes it such that one's davening will be in a state of liveliness and without any intrusive and distracting thoughts. Chaim Shalom Deitch, who is, as of this recording, the Rosh Kollel of Kollel Tzemach Tzedek, a Chabad Kollel in the old city of Yerushalayim, says that once upon a time, the Mashpia of Shlom Chaim turned to a bachar in the middle of the Verbengen, and the Shlom Chaim said that the best way to deal with Machshav Azaris, is to deal with distracting thoughts during davening, is not to try to take your mind off the distracting thoughts once they've come, but rather to contemplate in a Maimer Chassidus before davening, and that'll make it such that distracting thoughts will come to begin with. Your Shlom Chaim taught that an additional objective, an additional benefit that one gets from engaging in sustained contemplation before davening, is that one trains one's mind to focus on one topic for a sustained period of time. And that has the added benefit of allowing one to focus for more sustained periods of time on topics in tefillah. For example, when you contemplate on the idea of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elikeinu, Hashem Echad, Chassidus has very long explanations of what exactly is going on more deeply. In Shema, there are very long contemplative meditative exercises. But if you haven't trained yourself to think through those long contemplative meditative exercises, then you're very likely to get distracted after a few seconds, after a few moments. But if you've allowed yourself to be mindful, if you allowed yourself to focus, then by training that muscle before davening, you'll be able to apply it during davening as well. Now, it's interesting that this has become a particularly popular point in the secular world, mindfulness, focusing, already since the 1970s, but certainly since the turn of the 21st century, and particularly since smartphones and computers have become so ubiquitous and they distract us, people have been moving more towards mindfulness. But it's interesting that a similar spiritual ideal was already focused on, was already taught by Rosh Hashanah Chaim with tremendous passion in the middle of the 20th century. Rabbi Binyamin Cohen, who was one of Rosh Hashanah Chaim's Talmidim, used to say that Rosh Hashanah Chaim would tell the following story or give the following analogy to express how important focus in his spiritualness is. He says, imagine to yourself that somebody comes and stands before a great king, and the supplicant wants to ask the king for some favor. But in the middle of asking this favor, the person suddenly begins to talk about some other topic. Then he remembers that he's standing before the king, and he goes back to what he was asking for before. Then again, he gets distracted, starts thinking about something else, starts engaging in some other conversation, and then he remembers, oh, I'm in front of the king, and he begins to talk thinking again, and this pattern repeats itself over and over again. So now, when the king is deciding, should he honor this person's request or not, obviously the king will not honor this person's request, because he'll say this person spoke in such a confused manner that it's very difficult to understand what he wants at all. The lesson of this allegory is pretty clear. When we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we stand before Hashem, we need to say the words of tefillah with intent and with yishuv hadas, with a certain degree of focus. And therefore, a person must train themselves to focus on one thing, because if not, they won't have the ability to daven properly. And here are two quotes from Rosh Hashanah Chaim on the topic that he said of Abrahamians. One should accustom themselves to thinking Chassidus, to be a master, to be an owner of their own thoughts. The earlier Chassidim, the Amalek Chassidim, used to think Chassidus for 6 hours straight. But us, if only we would think for a half hour. And certainly, somebody who until now has not trained themselves to think Chassidus can't immediately begin by thinking straight for a half hour. But they need to start with 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, and so on and so forth. Rosh Hashanah Chaim also taught that a person needs to accustom themselves to thinking Tanya before davening. And they should also think ideas from Tanya before saying Kriya Shema al Hamidah. He said, Kodem Kol, the first thing that a Bachar needs to do, meaning a Bachar would be somebody studying in Labav Yeshiva, and Rosh Hashanah Chaim was addressing his spiritual guidance to Bachar Yeshiva, but really this refers to anybody who's attempting the Chabad spiritual path. First thing is that you need to be a Ben Adam. You need to be a human. Can't be an animal. What does he mean by being a human? That a person needs to be a master of themselves and have the ability to focus their thoughts on a Perek of Tanya. And only after a person can think through in a focused manner a full Perek of Tanya, only then, Rosh Hashanah Chaim said, can a person begin to think of higher things, meaning to take some idea in Teres HaChassidus, like say the idea of Ein Sof, the idea of the infinite, or the idea of Bitul HaOlamos, the idea of the negation of the worlds, or some lofty spiritual concept of that nature, and only after a person has mastered being able to think through a Perek of Tanya can they begin to think of higher ideas, more abstract ideas in HaChassidus. There are Bachrim who are at the age of 18, or a little bit older than 18, and they think that, in a certain respect, they're already elderly chassidim. They say that, Ani kiven shivim shana, quoting the Haggadah, I'm as if I'm 70 years old. But the reality is, these bachrim, these older bachrim, don't even have the ability to contemplate on the mere letters of a chapter of Tanya, meaning they can't close their eyes, focus their mind, and go through an entire chapter of Tanya without getting distracted. And certainly when it comes to younger Bachrim, they certainly understand that taking lofty ideas in Chassidus and contemplating on them is not fitting for the stage that they're at. But after somebody has accustomed themselves to focusing their thoughts on one idea, then it follows that when they daven, they're able to connect their thoughts, they're able to connect their mind to the words that they're saying, unlike people who just mumble through davening and they're not exactly sure where they're holding. So how exactly does one engage in Hizbonimus? We've talked a lot about Hizbonimus, but how does one do it? So in Teres Chabad, Hizbonimus is talked about a lot. But there are many people who attempted this act of Hizbonimus, they attempted to contemplate. And within a few minutes, they find their thoughts wafting, they find their thoughts flying to all sorts of different places, and they're not able to focus for a sustained period on one thing. When people would ask Rosh Hashanah Chaim for guidance in Hizbonimus before davening, Shlomo Chaim would teach them the first strategies for how to be misbeinim, how to engage in contemplation, before he taught them what to contemplate on. The first step of misbeinimus is practicing how to focus, which is no connection at all to preparing for davening or studying chassidus, but it's something that one could do even when they're learning a sugya in Nigla, when they're learning Gemara. When a person finishes some idea in Gemara or Halacha, or even when they finish a Dibra Masl of Tesis, they should focus on that Dibur of Thesis. They should train themselves to think through what was said in the Thesis. You read a Thesis, now take a step away from the page and think, what did Thesis say in this Dibur of Maschel? What was the Machalitis between Abayin Utam and Avakiv Yisrael? And then your self-training can continue by not thinking through only one Dibur of Thesis, but after learning an Amud, think through all the Diburim of Tosfos on the page to the point that you're able to think through an entire sugya on your own, meaning you think it through without having to reference back the page. Only after one is focused for a sustained period of time, everyone according to their own abilities, only then can a person engage in contemplation before davening. And the Rosh Hashanah Chaim said, if you do not have this ability to focus, if you haven't trained yourself to focus, then the time that you set aside for thinking before davening is going to turn into a collection of stray thoughts, a collection of intrusive thoughts, which are only going to hurt your davening and not help it out. Rosh Hashanah Chaim so intensively stressed this idea of being able to train yourself to focus that at times he didn't care what you were focusing on. Meaning, although Chassidus says you think Chassidus before davening, if a bacher was more connected or more aware of the Tosfos he was learning or the Gemara he was learning, he'd tell the bacher that they should think the Gemara before davening just in order to be able to focus. You have Yeshua Manshein, who was the famous Chabad historian and Chabad Chassid, said that Rosh Hashanah Chaim was a true Chassidic educator. He was a true guide and pedagogue. And he knew how to educate his Talmidim and guide them on the paths of Chassidus. Once there was a bacher who didn't know any Chassidus, and he came over to Rosh Hashanah Chaim and asked him, how should we misbinden? And Rosh Hashanah Chaim just sat him down and said, think about the Gemara that you learned recently and focus on that Gemara. And through that focus, you'll ultimately be able to focus during davening. In his Sefer Amarim Tovshin Aleph, the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth of Chabad, explains his blindness as follows. He says, contemplation, his blindness, is an intellectual back and forth. V'hainu, that is, the chol dvar seichel haba b'mosog, whatever idea comes to mind, im heyesoy kvar mefurat liriboy pratim in yonim v'chalakim, although this idea that you're thinking about has many details, umivu'orim umuzborim bebiur v'hezber, and you know the many details in great detail, meaning you're able to explain all the various details which comprise the idea. The power, the ability to engage in contemplation is the ability to engage in inner dialogue and inner back and forth on that idea that you're contemplating on. His bonus means taking account of whether all the details that you derive from the general concept are in fact relevant details. Meaning, if you really, as Burnus means, asking yourself, did I really break down the concept in the right way? Did I really understand the concept in the right way? The Behechich Leimer, as you must say, in any idea that a person apprehends or comprehends, Hareish Svor Yisoidis, there's an underlying rationale, Mashemachriach Lefarit Esanakuda Asichlis, Lekachachach Protein, which makes it such that the person needs to break down the intellectual idea into such and such details. That piratim lekach v'kach anyanim, and then break down the details further to further ideas. V'anyanim, and then the further details, lekach v'kach halakim, into further details. Meaning, for any concept, you start with the chapter heading, and then you break it down into smaller elements and smaller elements. And the Friedrich Rebbe says, Bainus is trying to understand what is the underlying idea behind all the details. The Al Yedei Shkidas has Bainus, and by contemplating for a long time, by sustained contemplation, Hariubal Yedei Histaklus Hachazaka Benishmas Hasaga, a person comes to experience. The word the Friedrich Rebbe uses is staklus, which means to look at, but it means that you're experiencing the idea that you're thinking about. Benishmas ha'asaga, you experience the soul of the idea you're thinking about. Shehu tziur hamusagahu, which is the form, which is the abstract object of the concept you're thinking of. In a similar vein, Rosh Hashanah Chaim explained that his benos is connection to the idea. Just like, for example, if a person stares for a long time at some object, and then the object becomes clear in their mind. Imagine that you think of a certain tree, or you look at a certain tree, and you look at the tree long enough such that when somebody says, oh, remember that tree, the picture of the tree, the thought of the tree, immediately comes to mind. Or you meet a person, and you spent enough time with the person, or connected enough with the person, such that when somebody mentions the person's name, you immediately recall their face and immediately recall details about the person. And similarly, Rosh Hashanah Chaim said that the idea of contemplation before davening, the objective of contemplation before davening, is to etch the ideas of Teres HaChassidus into a person's consciousness, into a person's soul, through a person detaching themselves from thoughts which are related to this world, and to cause a person to be completely immersed in that idea of Chassidus that they learned. And this is like somebody who stares at some beautiful object,
and or some beautiful painting, and the painting grabs the person. The person becomes immersed in the painting. But in order that the painting really become etched inside of a person's mind, a person needs to spend a lot of time looking at the painting and looking at its particular details in order to remember the details. Once there was construction outside of the yeshiva in Kfar Chabad, and the bachrim in the yeshiva, let's say, were in their mid-teens. So they were looking at the workers mixing cement and then putting the cement out onto the sidewalk or putting it out to wherever they were putting it out. And they were apparently very excited by this whole ceremony, the whole production of making the cement. So Rosh HaMechayim used this as a mashal, used this as a parable for his bengals. He said, when you look at the workers and contemplate on what they're doing, then even after the workers leave, you still are able to recall the image of the workers doing whatever it is they were doing. So Izbenos is a similar idea. It's ki'ilu ruyah, it's as if you're seeing. And you're able to recall the image, you're able to recall all the details of the Hasidic concept you were thinking clearly. Relatedly, the Friedrich Rebbe taught in one of his Igros Kodesh, and this is in his Igros Kodesh, Chilek Aleph, page Reish Mem Beis, and further. The Friedrich Rebbe said that a person should be misamek b'machshev es dach. They should think deeply in thoughts of Chasidus, shoa aruka, for a sustained period of time, lohovena inyan al burye, to understand the idea properly. Va'avona zu dizbeinus, ein zu havona sasechel bulvad. This understanding and contemplation is not mere intellectual understanding. Can maybe a salim would like a time of learning. Ki'im kavonas machshev zu, but rather the intention of the thoughts in dizbeinus is inyan es taklus beklolius uprotius habosko. It's the idea of peering, of experiencing, of seeing the general ideas and the specifics of the idea that you're contemplating on, and the wonder that exists within the idea. Like somebody who looks at a beautiful painting. At first, a person just sees the painting, and they see how every line and every point in the painting is integrated together. Meaning the first thing you see is not the details, but rather you see how all the details come together to form the big picture. A person looks at the life of the painting. That is, given that the artist painted each line very wisely in accordance with the rules of art. When a person really experiences a painting, it no longer feels like it's a painting, and it seems like the picture of the painting is alive. Particularly, if a wise person, if a smart person, is looking at the painting, because a truly wise person is able to leave aside the painting and they're able to look at the life behind the painting, what the painting represents, what the painting expresses. In a similar fashion, as Bainus Betfila, contemplation during davening, is his kashrus baskolasin, its connection to an idea. Like a wise person who looks at the life force and the subject that's behind the painting, the oz then such a person leaves aside the physical painting. And the entire depth of the person's thought is only after the interiority, after what the painting is really getting at. So it is when it comes to the contemplation before davening, and then the avodas hatfila, which is contemplation during davening. Shuiskashus pnimi be'etzma inyan, which is the real connection, the inner connection to the idea that one's thinking about, vahinu baskolo, and that is in the intellectual idea that one's thinking about. And Chassidus, generally, the intellectual idea will be something like Achdus Hashem, the idea of Hashem's unity, the idea that the only thing that exists is the One, or Bittul Olamos, how the worlds don't really exist. So it comes out that understanding the idea might be something that happens just once, but his Hizbeinus is something that you can do time and time again by thinking over and connecting to the same idea. So you might learn a maimer once, and then you can misbein on it many times. This past Shabbos, I was speaking with a contemporary chassid, Rav Yoske Levin, who told me that he contemplated on the maimer of the Rebbe, Pasach Eliyo, Tafshin Tesvav, a maimer the Rebbe said in the year 1954, and Rav Yoske said he contemplated this maimer over 700 times. The Friedrich Rebbe explained that the reason why it's often the case that people don't feel that their davening impacts them or impacts their day after davening is because they understand ideas, but they don't necessarily properly contemplate on those ideas during davening. And this is a quote from the Friedrich Rebbe's Maimer, Mashcheni, Tafshin Aleph, from the year 1941, printed in Sefer Maran Tafshin Aleph, page 97. Friedrich Rebbe says, "V'zeh yuvan, with this we can understand, mat shekamot mi'uv dihavaya ba'avayda shabaleh betfilah, that there are many people who serve Hashem with worship of the heart, which is davening, and misoinenim shagam shoiskim avayda shabaleh bavanatuva, and they complain that although it's the case that they engage in avayda shabaleh with good understanding, holds us nonetheless hini achar tefila after davening kishabon bin yoni oilam, when they begin to engage with this world, in reishim avayda nikir b'il davar." There's no imprint, there's no lasting effect of their davening. And these people say they engage in hisbanunus, they engage in contemplation on divine ideas before davening. And then within davening, they think about whatever it is they contemplate on before davening. And they daven on it with tremendous arousal and feeling. Uvacholzis, but nonetheless, hini acharat tefillah, after davening, choylef v'oiver esragshus. Their feelings pass, the enu mevi shum peil davar klal, and doesn't lead to any impact. What's the diagnosis? Why does this happen to the Friedrich Rebbe? Hini asibu lezahu, the reason for the fact, the reason why it is that people are engaging in hisbonus but not having impact is, heder hisbonus v'staklus hachazoka. It's an absence of proper contemplation and of strong staring and experience at the ideas. The Bazed Dafke, and only through this, does one come to true excitation, to true impact, to have a clear impact, to have a clear impression, to have a clear staying power of the hisbonus in one's actual lived experience. The in Aveda, in one's spiritual work, what matters more is contemplation, thinking through the idea, connecting with the idea, not understanding the idea. Vesbonus, and thinking through an idea, contemplating an idea, is davar ashove lechol nefesh. That's something that anyone can do. You don't have to be the brightest person to think over an idea over and over and over again. And we see empirically that there are people who are not necessarily the smartest folks, but they're able to take an idea in Hasidus, and they're able to think about it over and over and over again. And they're able to get very excited about it. And other Abba, very often people who aren't as deep thinkers are able to get excited with less mileage by just thinking through the idea. When a person contemplates an idea time after time after time, that makes it such that he's able to envision the idea with some specific detail. And that makes it such that after davening, when a person engages with the physical world, the impact, the impression of one's davening remains in all details. Given that in one's davening, his bainus is what really counts, his bainus is what really matters. So we've seen that the Friedrich Rebbe says that a person needs to think about one idea over and over and over again in order to engage in proper his bainus. So how does one do that? So a person needs to learn the same maimer in Chassidus time after time. They don't learn it many, many times. As I mentioned before, there are many Chassidim I will take a certain Maamar and learn it 100 times, 101 times, 700 times, in order to really, really connect with the Maamar. And the Friedrich Rebbe says as much in his Igros Kedish Chelik Dalid on Amud Kufayin Ches. He says, Chak Admor Marash, Omar Lechak Admor. The fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash, told the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, Kishe Chuyjim Bimachshova Vihuhur, Shishim Ushmoina Pa'omin, Al Maamar Echad Be'iun. When a person thinks through a given Maamar 60 or 80 times analytically, al yidei hergel zeh, through accustoming oneself to do this, margilim es hamoyach, one accustoms one's mind, lachshev b'toichen haskala uvenoyis shalom, to think through the content of the idea that they're dealing with and its subject, umachshirim es hamoyach, liyos kli kibul seichel atzmi. And one prepares the mind to be a kli, to be a container to connect with the core intellectual idea. Chaka mor amarli, the Friedrich Rebbe continues that his father, the Rebbe Rashab, told him, Toiv umil yoyser, lachser b'machshava yunis, maimer echad, shloisha pam. It's better to think through one maimer 30 times, me'asher limud shloishim ma'amorim lemigras, than to just learn through the text of 30 ma'amorim, ki b'limud shal shloishim ma'amorim, hu yidein yonim shidchim. Because by just learning through 30 Maamarim, you know ideas in a superficial fashion. But when you think analytically through one idea 30 times, or through one Maamar 30 times, Magia Haloimid, the student comes, a person comes to the core intellectual idea. In the first variety, Hurak Loimid is a Maamar. He only learns the Maamar. Av Maamarim lelimdu eisai, but the Maamarim have not taught him. Uvasoka achrin, but in the second variety, haMaamar melamed eisai, the Maamar teaches him. Uveemes lamitay zoyi tachlis halimut, and that's the ultimate idea. The ultimate idea is not for you to learn the Maamar, but rather for the Maamarim to teach you. Elsewhere in Zegers Kedesh, the Friedrich Rebbe gives a concrete example of specific hisbonus in an idea. This is in his Igros Kedesh Chelik Yud, page Shin Ayin Tes. He says, "Iker Gadol B'lim Chassidus." A very important principle in learning Chassidus is, "Asher Be'oisu Inyan Shalomad." When one learns a particular idea, Yisbonin Bei Pam Shtayim Usholish. He should think about it once, twice, and a third time. Yisakiv Bei Eze Meshech Zman Ad Asher Inyan Ohu Niklatetiv B'Meichiv V'Nigash B'Lvavei. And he should think about it over and over again, until that particular idea becomes grasped in his heart and mind. Uvelash Yiddish nikraze, and Yiddish this is called the Seichel Baruch the Kap. One's intellect, one's mind calms down. It soothes the intellect. Unreist the hearts and rips open one's heart. Meaning to say that through his bainos, a person mind calms, and when your mind calms, you're able to focus. And it rips open the heart, meaning that a person moves from a state of apathy to a state of feeling. The Friedrich Rebbe continues, Kasher loimid eza inyan b'chassidus. When a person learns through a particular idea in chassidus, kemoi b'inyan hashkacha pratis, like, for example, when a person thinks through the idea of divine providence, shu yisbarach, mashgiach al pratu prat, d'chol anvirun, that Hashem watches over every detailed event in every person's life, and every creature's life, and every bit of grass, and every animal, and hashkacha pratis atzmazu, and this hashkacha pratis itself, this divine providence, hine zeu chayus hanivrim husay, this divine providence is the life force and essence of every creature, of every person. Kasher loimid is inyan barichus bibeuri haskel the hezber bazeh. When a person learns through this idea with intellectual understandings and explanations of this concept, that's what Shkach HaPratis means. Hu echad hanyonim, this idea of Shkach HaPratis is one of the important principles, hanoigim li dias tuchin perish hamilis, the tefillah b'sukei dezimra. Shkach HaPratis is one of the very important principles which allows one to understand what's actually being talked about in p'sukei dezimra. And p'sukei dezimra talks a lot about nature, talks a lot about humans, it talks a lot about the celestial spheres, talks a lot about astronomy. It effectively talks about nature in all of its grandeur. Shemedavir b'tivei hanivron, Pesukim Zimra talks about the nature of the created entities, Bitzarchehim, and their needs, Uvashirasam, and it details the praise that these figures, these characters, that the creatures give to Hashem. Umeven in Betoiv, and one understands the idea well, Umisbunin Bay, Bamakas Hadas, and one contemplates on the idea very deeply. Umisakev, and they get stuck, they focus, Bin Imus Arevus Mesikus Hamaskolahu, on the sweetness and the beauty of the idea of Hashkacha Pratis. Hine oz niklatin neiti b'meichoyim. Then the idea of Hashkacha Pratis is received well in one's mind. V'nirgash b'levavli. And it's felt in one's heart. V'hergish zeh. And this feeling, goyim l'shanois tivoy urgilusay. It causes one to change their nature and their habits. V'nisin tam v'chayis pnimi b'lim ratayu v'kiyim ha-mitzvahs. And it gives taste, it gives feeling and inner life force in one's study of Torah and film with the mitzvahs. Rav Yisrael Friedman, who for many years was the Rosh Yeshiva in the flagship Chabad Yeshiva in Crown Heights, Alei Torah, used to say over that Rav Shlomo Chaim would demand of each Bachar to learn Chasidos according to what he felt that Bachar's capacity to be. So once, Rav Shlomo Chaim told the Bachar to learn a Maimer, the Friedrich Rebbe in Sefer Maimer Kotreisim, called Shoykav Amudishesh, 120 times. And the Bacharim said that after that Bachar learnt the Maimer 120 times, one could see that this Bachar had completely changed and had become one with the Hasidic ideas that he learnt. So now we've spoken a lot about his Hizbeinonos, let's circle back to his Hizbeinonos as a preparation for davening. The Friedrich Rebbe in Zegros Kedesh, Chelik Gimel, said as follows. Ha'achon Shokedem Atfila, the preparation that one engages in before davening, b'achshoras atzmai, of preparing oneself, d'hikoin likras alekech Yisrael, of prepare yourself to stand before your God, O Israel. That preparation is on a yisbunus kloli, on a general contemplation of da'al lefnei mitha'imid, know before whom you stand. Da'al loy gam bin yoni olam, because even when it comes to the matters of this world, harei inei dei me'achonas hadibur lefnei sar katon, oy hadibur im sar gadol. The way that one prepares a speech before a less significant minister is different than the way one prepares a speech for a more significant minister, ubeferath, and more specifically, in misha chayim v'amavas biyadi, when one's speaking to somebody who has the ability to hand out life or death. V'chein l'adim b'kasha ketanel v'kasha gedilo, hanigas b'chayov v'chayi anshei besay. And similarly, you can't compare a small request to a significant request, which is relevant to one's life and the life of the members of the household. Umi kol shekein. B'yamdeinu afnei avinu malkeinu yisbarach v'yisalam. And that's certainly true when we're talking about standing before our father, our king, may be blessed and exalted. Meaning to say that just like when one's engaging in matters of this world, depending on who you're having a conversation with, you'll invest more into the conversation, how much more should one invest in a conversation with Hashem? For the purpose of this general hachana, this general preparation for davening, Rav Shlomo Chaim would educate his students to choose some idea in Chassidus, which they would think before davening, when they were already wearing their tefillin, or if they were married, when they were wearing both their talis and tefillin. And given that this contemplative exercise is connected with Da'al lefnei mitha'imid, know before whom you stand, Rav Shlomo Chaim would suggest to the Bachrim to contemplate in ideas which have to do with Achdus Hashem, which have to do with Hashem's unity, with the idea that Hashem is the only thing that ultimately exists, or to contemplate in some Maimer Chassidus, which is particularly relevant for preparing for davening. One of Rav Shlomo Chaim's Talmidim, Rav Moshe Naparstek, explained that Rav Shlomo Chaim felt it was very important to create a continuation, a continuum, between the end of Seder Chassidus, meaning Chabad Yeshiva is a Seder Chassidus, and then davening. He said that Rav Shlomo Chaim would argue very strongly that if a person makes a break between learning Chassidus and davening, the impact of the learning might well melt away because of the break that one took. And for this reason, Rav Shlomo Chaim very strongly emphasized that one should contemplate before davening on some idea in Chassidus that one knows very well, or in a parak of Tanya that one knows Baal Peh, such that one shouldn't create too much of a break between Seder Chassidus and davening. I mean, you take something that you know really well, something that you really connect to, so it won't create any disturbance between Seder Chassidus and davening. Now, in Temchit Pimim, in the Chabad Yeshiva system, between Seder Chassidus and davening, there's usually a break. And here, the author of the Sefer Neshama Chaim explains that the break between Chasidus and davening is not meant, like is very often the case, for Bochum to go and scurry off to mikveh between Chasidus and davening, but rather one's meant to go to mikveh before Seder Chasidus, and then between Seder Chasidus and davening, the long break, which can run anywhere from 15 minutes to a half hour, is meant to be used to contemplate in Chasidus for davening. Now, in terms of what Chasidus people were contemplating on before davening, Rev Elio Cook says that Rishon Mechaim would often have people focus on Prakim Chof, Chof Aleph, and Chof Beis of Tanya, which deal with the concept of Bittul Olamis, with the nullification of the worlds. And the Talmidim said that they saw those who engaged in his bonus before davening, they saw the davening of those Talmidim completely changed, and that their general behavior completely changed as well. Finally, as we've said many times, this bonus that we're talking about here is not meant, the objective is not to understand more Chasidus, but rather it's all about connection, it's all about a feeling of connection during davening and da'alef ne'miyata imit. So, although it's the case that people were advancing in the Limud Chasidus, many Rosh Hashanah Talmidim would contemplate on the same Perek of Tanya year after year. And Rosh Hashanah would have each Bachar contemplate on a section of Chasidus which is particularly relevant for that Bachar in his life and his experience. So, let's summarize what we've learned. The term Hisboninus, or Hitboninut, is a central term in Teres Chabad, a central term in Chabad teaching, when it comes to Avedas HaTfilah, when it comes to the work, the inner work of davening. Hisbeinenus means contemplation. And it's different than Hitbodidut or Hisbeididus, which is commonly more associated with Chasidus Breslev. And Hisbeididus effectively means that one secludes themselves in some place, perhaps a forest or some other picturesque area, and talks directly to Hashem and speaks intimately with Hashem as their father. His Hisboninus is very different. His Hisboninus does not mean isolation, but rather it means contemplation. And it's an intellectual exercise. But what exactly is the nature of this intellectual exercise? So we see in this sefer about Rosh Shlomo Chaim Kesselman, who is one of the leading Chabad Mashpim, one of the greatest Chabad Mashpim in the 20th century, that his Hisboninus means intellectual contemplation, but intellectual contemplation in a way that's not just focusing on the idea, but is rather there to generate an experience. And to express this, a person could, in principle, learn 30 Mamar of Chasidus. A person could learn a lot of Chasidus. But that's not his Hisboninus, that's Limud. His Hisboninus would be to take one given Mamar and review it time after time after time. Go over it, let's say, 30 times, 40 times. And there's some Chasidim would go over Mamar 100 times, even 700 times, to the point that one becomes one with the idea of their learning. That they are not learning the idea, but rather the idea is teaching them. The idea has become one with them. His bonus is about learning things in a way that generates a felt experience. The Friedrich Reb would say that his bonus is a lot like looking at some object or looking at a painting, and you look at the painting, look at it closely, and the painting begins to come alive to you. The painting becomes etched into your consciousness. In a similar way, in Hisboninus, you're going over an idea in Chasidus to the point that it becomes etched in your consciousness. For example, a person can think about Achdus Hashem, about how Hashem is the only thing that really exists, or a person can think about Hashkacha Pratis, about how Hashem manages each detail of our lives. And if you think about the idea over and over and over again, that ultimately leads you to become one with the idea, and that significantly impacts the way that one will daven and the way that one will be. Rosh Hashanah Chaim taught that a key way to engage in Hisboninus is learning the practice of focus. A person first needs to focus, and then once they can focus their mind, they're able to be Hisboninus properly. So for that reason, Rosh Hashanah Chaim would tell people to start by practicing to be Hisboninus, to contemplate an idea for 5 minutes. And try very hard during those 5 minutes that no intrusive thoughts would enter their mind. And then once they were successfully capable of thinking about an idea for 5 minutes, he taught them to go on for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, up to a half hour. Shlomo Chaim said that there were people who back in the day were misbinding for 6 hours, but by us, if only we'd be able to contemplate and think deeply about an idea for a half hour without any distracting or intrusive thoughts coming in. It's interesting that in the latter half of the 20th century, and certainly the 21st century, now that digital technology has become so distracting in people's lives, that mindfulness, the idea of being able to focus on one idea or focus on one's breathing, has become extremely popular in the West. And it's interesting to note that Rosh Chodesh Chaim was already preaching this this gospel of his Beinonus, of being able to contemplate and focus on one idea long before, and explaining that that was the intention of the Chabad teachers already for centuries. So what is his Beinonus? His Beinonus is contemplation, contemplating on an idea until the idea becomes alive to a person and they can think about the idea in depth and in a focused manner. And by doing that, that changes one's davening and then allows one's davening to have an impact on one's lived experience, one's mundane life after they finish davening.